So in just in general, you all know, you've all done your 341s, and it's a pretty much of a consensus here that we really need you to do the work in bringing in the documentation that we have to review. What are we talking about? We're talking about the tax returns. We're talking about pay stubs. We're talking about bank accounts. They're all set out. We need that picture ID. We need that Social Security confirmation. And this is because we're required to do this in each and every one of these 341 meetings. One of the little blurbs, another responsibility, is domestic support obligation. Why do we want to do domestic support obligation information? What do you think?
Because we have to send out notices by statute, so we need to know about them, for
that's,
one thing.
That's right. We are required to send out notices
to the
recipient. That's the person who's receiving the money, the child support, and also the payer, like a state office. And guess what? This is one little item that we are audited on this point. And by that, I mean we get audited every 3-5 years, right? 5 years or so.
Bankruptcy, everybody gets audited.
Everybody gets audited. And we get audited, and they actually want to know, hey, let me show me your DSO table showing who are the domestic support obligations, and, oh, show me where your letters were sent. And thankfully, we have computers that do our work. But it is just a point to show you that just because we're asking these questions, it's not just because we want to ask these questions. It completes the narrative that we're kind of hoping to do. So,
and
yes.
I will just say on that, the computers help because they'll generate the notice letters to send, but it's garbage in, garbage out. I'll frequently get DSO notices returned to my office because the address is just obviously wrong, and that's, you know, sometimes our fault, data entry, but also debtors on their sworn testimony form, and there's that spot to put in who your DSO obligations are and where they go. A lot of people don't put in an address, or they'll put in a partial address or something that's obviously wrong, and if debtors' attorneys or their staff could help just point that out to the debtor and try to get the complete address, that'd be helpful and save us a back and forth step later.
Right, and along with that, it just puts a lot of emphasis on the schedules and statements. The more complete, the quicker the process, and there's not going to be a delay. And it's not just the delay within that hour. Think about 7 to 10 cases in 1 hour, and think about you being on the sign-up sheet or on the call sheet, and you're number 5 or 6. If there's a hiccup in number 2 or 3, everything starts getting delayed. And we start getting stressed out because we want to get everybody in and out as soon as possible. And it's not going to be a very happy group. Right?
That's true, especially when you stop to think that requirement came in with BAP-CPA. And that had to have been done by some special interest group. I've never been able to figure out who it was. And they obviously suffered under the delusion that was going to increase payment of child support. I'm all in favor of increasing, forcing the parent that's supposed to pay. But I don't think this is any more effective than going outside, firing a shotgun in the air and seeing if a duck fell down. It is ridiculous. And I believe that that's true because if it were effective, somebody in the U.S. Trustee's Office of the Government will be bragging about the increase in child support collections as a result of us sending out these two letters that they come and audit you for.
Well, and one of the letters goes to the state agency involved. I don't know what they're going to do.
I mean, we're in the Army now. Go out there and dig that hole. Go out there and fill that hole.
A couple comments about the creditors meeting from my perspective. In the Eastern District, in my division, the Plano Division or Sherman Division, we run 12 meetings an hour, so that's 3 every 15 minutes. So it's a boom, boom, boom process. And we do that for a reason, because people have to drive long distances sometimes, and we want to get you in handle a lot of cases and get you out in one day. And so it's helpful if you're kicking off the meetings at 9 o'clock in the morning, if you come on time, and otherwise we get behind. And inevitably, I always get behind because there'll be a meeting that takes more time. But we desperately try to stay on time, get you in and out, and get through the process. But nonetheless, if your client can have their picture IDs and social security cards in hand, I've got it down to a science. It takes me 53 seconds to 56 seconds to ask the preliminary questions I need to ask as the trustee. I've been told by the U.S. trustee these questions I need to ask. And then I turn the meeting over to the debtor's lawyer, and the debtor generally has questions for a minute and a half, 2 minutes. And then I follow up if there's something that piques my curiosity about what was said or in the schedules. And generally, if it all goes smoothly, we can get it done in 5 minutes.